And so what was he trying to do? First of all, he made an excuse. But why did he make an excuse? Because he was dealing with his own pride and ego. And he figured that, yeah, I did wrong, but let me try to lighten the blow a little bit. Let me try to ease some of the tension off me. And so one way for me to ease the tension off me is to put some of it on my wife. You know, the hammer's coming down. You know, the wrecking ball is coming down on me. But you know what? If I can deflect a little bit over here, the blow won't be as bad.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will begin a new series from the book of Proverbs titled, Overcoming the Lion in the Streets. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of There's a Lion in the Street.
And we're going to be dealing with a series entitled, Overcoming the Lion in the Street. Now, I thought at one point I would name this series Jesus Died for Sins, but and not for excuses. But I see that there's a stronger word picture in the book of Proverbs that captures the essence of what I'm trying to communicate in this series. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13. This gives us the foundation for the series that we are about to begin in. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13. And the Bible says, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets." Now, as we look at this passage this morning, we see that the lion here represents an excuse. It's an excuse for this individual who is lazy not to go out in the street. It's an excuse for him to not accomplish the things in life that he knows that he should be about. It's a reason for him to not pursue the dreams and goals that he has. It's a reason for him to not go out and do something that's worthwhile in life. This lion that's out there keeps him from the goals that are in his heart. And as we look at lions in our lives, we see that there are many lions. There are lions that keep us from spending time in the Word of God. There are lions that keep us from spending more time with our families. There are lions that keep us from exercise or from nutrition programs. There are lions that keep us from giving up bad habits. The lion here represents an excuse for this individual not to accomplish the things that he needs to accomplish. And as we consider this whole idea, we realize that many of us have excuses for the things that we don't want to do. Many of us have excuses that cover up the wrongdoing in our life. And so I'm coming this morning to share with you how we can begin to address those issues that we cover up to make ourselves look better, that we use to keep us from being all that God would have us to be. I must confess before I pray this morning, I must confess to the congregation that this preparation for this sermon just beat me up. Man, I come up in this pulpit this morning, I'm bruised, I'm battered, and I'm bloody because it just beat me up. And as I began to meditate on the things that God was placing on my heart, I just had to raise my hands up to the air and say, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. And as I come, I know that there will be many here this morning that the Lord will work in your heart, similar in which he worked in mine. And so as we come today, let us join together and agree that God would speak to our hearts and that we would be a blank sheet of paper and we would allow the Spirit of God to fill that paper up with the things that he has for us. As we look at this passage today, and as we think about the lions that are in the street, the lions that we sit back and allow to intimidate us, the lions that are out there that give us a reason for not doing the things that God would have us to do. I look at this verse, and I see that there's just an irrationality with excuses. That there's no rational reason for an excuse. And as we go through the passage today, we're going to see this more and more. But as we look at the irrationality of excuses, there are three things that I want to say. First of all, the lions give us a reason to fail. Lions give us a reason to fail. Excuses give us a reason to fail. Somebody said that the house of failure is built with the nails of excuse. The house of failure is built with the nails of excuse. And so those of us who are looking for a reason to fail, we find excuses that help us to be able to do that. The second thing that we see about the irrationality of excuses is that they give us a reason to avoid addressing the problem. Here, this man sits back in his house, and he sees that there's a lion in the street. There's a lion intimidating folk. There's a problem that's in the street. Now, it seems like somebody ought to go out here and do something. That this lion has shut down commerce. This lion has stopped people from moving around freely. This lion has blocked up the system. This lion has slowed progress down. This lion has stopped business. Somebody needs to do something about the lion. But we find an excuse. Hey, I'm not going out there. There's a lion out there. You know, somebody else needs to take care of the problem. I'm not messing with that lion. So we use the excuse to never address any problem. That we have convenient excuses, that we have all these issues in our life. We have serious things in our lives that we need to be dealing with. And once again, I say that I stand here beaten, bruised, and bloody. And there's things in my life that I know I should have dealt with, I should have been dealing with, and I found a lion to keep me from dealing with it. I found an excuse for not dealing with it. And lions show us. And lions are out there. And all you have to do is go look for one, and you will find a lion to stop you from doing whatever it is that God has called for you to do. Lions keep us in the house. Lions cause us to not address the problem. And the third thing that I find is that lions set us up to waste time dodging imaginary obstacles. You know, and so some people get so caught up in, you know, not doing something or avoiding doing something that they even begin to imagine things. Now notice what it says, and let me read this verse out of the New Living Translation. It says here that the lazy person is full of excuses, saying, "I cannot go outside because there might be a lion on the road." Now, I like the way the New Living Translation brings it out, because what does it say? There might be. There might be. Now, once again, this joker is so lazy that he hasn't even checked to go see if there's a lion out there. He hasn't even looked out his window to make sure that there's a lion out there. He said there might be one out there. And you know, sometimes we try to duck and dodge and avoid stuff so much that we begin to conjure up things in our mind. And we begin to conjure up we begin to conjure up excuses as to why we can't do something. And there's no reason or there's no rationality behind it. All it is that we have an excuse to not do it. I heard the story about this man who had been drinking, and he was driving down the road. And he was weaving, you know, from lane to lane. And he was making sharp cuts on his car, just weaving from lane to lane. And finally, a policeman saw him. And the policeman pulled him over. And the policeman said, "What's wrong with you? What are you doing?" He said, "Officer," he said, I pulled this way and I saw a tree." He said, "I went back the other way and I saw a tree. And I darted the other way and I saw a tree." And the officer looked in the car and said, "Man, what's wrong with you? That's your air freshener sitting up there in the window." See, sometimes we have imaginary obstacles that we put in the way. Yeah, we are dodging and ducking air fresheners, thinking that they're trees and using those as excuses. And there's nothing of any substance there. But yet and still, we go on and use these. You know, one thing that I realize, and this is where it really cuts. This is where it really cuts. You see, excuses are just manifestations of an underlying problem. And when I began to realize this and realize that whenever you make an excuse, that actually there's an underlying problem that you're trying to cover up, or there's an underlying problem that is motivating the excuse. In this passage right here, this guy's dealing with slothfulness. That the reason he's making an excuse is why? Because he's lazy. And if he wasn't lazy, if he was industrious, if he was out here taking care of business, he wouldn't be using excuses. But this excuse is masking his slothfulness. Some people make excuses because of pride and ego, because they've been caught and they've done something wrong. And so they want to do damage control. They don't want people to think as bad of them as they really would think of them. So what do? They give an excuse as to why they did something. Perfect example is Adam. Adam took the fruit and he ate the fruit. It gave it to his wife and she ate and they gave it, and then God comes to him. And as God comes to him, he said, "You know, Adam, you know, what's going on?" And Adam realized he had done wrong. Adam realized that that something had been committed that was an offense against God. And instead of him fessing up and saying, "Look, you know, I'm wrong. I did wrong. You know, my wife gave me the fruit. I know I shouldn't have ate it, you know, and that's the bottom line." But what does he do? He makes an excuse. And he says, "The woman that you gave me." And so what was he trying to do? First of all, he made an excuse. But why did he make an excuse? Because he was dealing with his own pride and ego. And he figured that, yeah, I did wrong, but let me try to lighten the blow a little bit. Let me try to ease some of the tension off me. And so one way for me to ease the tension off me is to put some of it on my wife. You know, the hammer's coming down. You know, the wrecking ball is coming down on me. But you know what? If I can deflect a little bit over here, the blow won't be as bad. And so some of us, we use excuses because it's motivated by pride and ego. And you know, we know that we've been caught. And we know that we're wrong. And we know that we should just go ahead and fess up. We should just throw our hands in the air and say, "I'm guilty, I'm guilty." But yet still, what do? We make an excuse. We make an excuse thinking that it might lighten the blow a little bit. A third, and I'm gonna get into all these in a lot more detail in the coming weeks. But a third underlying problem that supports excuses is a lack of faith. That people just don't want to trust God. And because they don't, trust God, they use excuses. Perfect example, Moses. God called Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And I'm going to get into this. I got a whole message just on this right here. But Moses came up with five excuses why he couldn't do what God called him to do. And each one of those excuses showed a lack of faith. That if God called you to do something, there shouldn't be a lion that's out there that's trying to stop you. You shouldn't use the lion to hinder you from doing whatever it is that God called you to do. If you'll, and I know I'm getting ready to get out of order as far as my slides are concerned, but if you'll go all the way to the end and put up the next to the last pie chart. Last week, I asked the members of the church to fill out a questionnaire, and there were basically two questions on the questionnaire. And I asked you, first of all, what goal is it that you feel that you were given that you haven't accomplished? And why? Why haven't you accomplished the goal? Well, as we break it down, and I can't remember, there was, you know, I had a whole stack of responses that were filled out. But as I went through them, the biggest thing is that people said, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. That I know there's a goal that I've been given, a goal that I have to accomplish, and I just don't have time. 31% said that was a lack of resources, and that involved a lot of things. It could have been money. It could have been being equipped. Somebody said that, you know, I'm in debt. So lack of resources is the reason, you know, I don't have the money to be able to go and do what I need to do. So a lack of resources came in second as to why people hadn't accomplished what it is that God gave them to do. 22% said fear. Now, once again, this is the people that's sitting out there. This is where I got it from. 22% of people said fear. Is that, you know, I'm afraid to step out. You know, there's just something in me that holds me back. You know, that there's some timidity in me that just keeps me from stepping out. 22%. Six percent of the people were honest, and they just said, you know, well, I just don't have any excuse. You know, I just didn't get done. And then another six said, you know, I'm too old or just don't have the energy to be able to do what it is that I'm supposed to do. Now, all these reasons, or let's just go ahead and put it like it is, excuses as to why we can't do something. Put up the next one. The next one we asked, did the Lord give this to you? 81% said yes. 81% of the people that filled out those forms said, yes, it was something that God gave to me. 14% said no. And 5% weren't sure. The overwhelming majority of people said they had been given something by God to do, and they didn't do it because there was a, say it again, brother, because there was a lion in the street. God gave you something to do, and you didn't do it because there's a lion in the street. Moses, they won't listen to me. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. I don't have any authority. I don't have any resources. He came up with all these excuses why he couldn't do what God told him to do. And many of us are facing that lion in the street. And that lion in the street is a lack of faith. And if we've got the faith, you know, God can do whatever it is he's called us to do. Number four, The fourth excuse or underlying excuse is complacency. Some people are just in their comfort zone. And because they're in their comfort zone, they're going to make every excuse not to step out of that comfort zone. They're going to come up with everything that they can think of. You know, there's a book that I've been reading in preparation for this message. And it's by this guy by the name of Dr. Wayne Dyer. Now, he's not a Christian, so I'm going to say that right up front. And the title of his book is Excuses Be Gone. And in this book, Dr. Dyer lists 18 of the most common excuses that people use. Let me just run down the catalog to you. It will be difficult. It's too risky. It will take too long. I don't deserve it. It's not in my nature. I cannot afford it. No one will help me. It has never happened before. I am not strong enough. I am not smart enough. I am too old. It's too big. I don't have the energy. It's my personal family history. I'm too busy. I'm scarred. The rules won't let me do it. 18 of the most common excuses that people use for not doing the things that they know they ought to do. And a lot of those excuses, if we were to go back and break down each one and study them, it's just because people have settled in their comfort zone and they don't want to move out of their comfort zone. And so their comfort zone keeps them in a place where they begin to use all these excuses because they are complacent. Apathetic people. People who just lack desire and passion. And because they are lacking desire and passion, and they are out here trying to do something, and it's not being done with the fire and zeal that they need to do it with, they begin to make excuse. Well, you know, if so-and-so would have did what they supposed to do, then, you know, then it would have happened. Well, you know what? I've been doing this all by myself, and, you know, I'm not getting any help. So you begin all these excuses. You begin a catalog of excuses. And the fact of the matter is that you're just apathetic because there was a time when you did it with fire and zeal, and the job got done, and now you don't have that fire and zeal, and you're making excuses as to why it's not being done. A sixth underlying cause why we use excuses is lack of discipline. If we would have did what it was we were supposed to do in preparation of doing what it is that we did, then we wouldn't have to make an excuse. But because we lack discipline, because we don't discipline ourselves to get ready the night before, because we don't discipline ourselves to wake up in a timely manner, because we don't discipline ourselves to leave far enough ahead of time. Whenever we're late for anything, even if it's coming to church, we got an excuse. Well, you know what? The parkway was backed up. You know, I tried to come down Tioga Street, and I didn't know they had it blocked off. Yeah, you got an excuse now. You got an excuse. But if you'd have left in enough time to get here, you would have got to Tioga Street, and you would have saw that it was blocked off, and you would have known that you had to come around, and it wouldn't have made a difference anyways. You see, this is the bottom line, saints. This is the bottom line. Instead of us giving excuses, you know what we need to say? Instead of me trying to come up with one of these 18, I'm too old, it's too big, you know, I'm too weak, I'm not smart. Instead of just say, you know what? I was just lazy. Let's go right to the root. Oh, it's quiet up in here this morning, but that's all right. That's all right.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of There's a Lion in the Street. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, There's a Lion in the Street, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Lion in the Street. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Lion in the Street or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Also, Dr. Glaze has authored 5 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.